Prologue. When I was still in diapers, yet to be stripped of my innocence and tooth hopeful, my father excused himself from the breakfast table, made a casual exit out the back door, crossed to a fabricated shed hunkered in a bone-dry cradle of honeysuckle in the far back corner of our lot, fetched an axe, and dragged a muddy rut back across the dormant lawn. He re-entered the kitchen, extra warm and cozy thanks to a turkey in the oven, looked upon the bewildered faces of his adoring family, and butchered them all. Well, not all, of course. I lived. Though I do believe I died a little that day. The reason he did it is almost as mysterious as why I was spared. Perhaps I was too young to be hated so utterly. Being only 18 months, I couldn't have pissed anyone off that royally. Maybe my father couldn't bring himself to kill his baby girl. Maybe he came to his senses as he yanked the blade of the axe out of my brother's back, my mother's chest, the kitchen counter, the linoleum flooring, the refrigerator door, any one of the four walls. In my younger, darkest days, I believed that I had been spared to live a never-ending life of torment, one last act of cruelty, before my father took a butcher knife from the kitchen drawer and dragged it across his throat. Not that this was told to me as a bedtime story. It wasn't all chop, chop, chop went the mean old giant, lullaby, and goodnight. Most of the grislier details were saved until I was old enough to handle it, when I could distinguish right from wrong, fact from fiction, the living from the dead. Supposedly when I was in the third grade. It was suggested that my mother took the brunt of the attack while trying to save her four children. Her blood tasted the worst, though I only imagined her blood in my mouth. Crime scene photographs showed that a dark fluid had puddled on the tray of my high chair, Fruit Loops floating about like tiny life preservers. I pray I wasn't so dim to have continued to eat, but the annihilation of an entire family might have taken a while, so I may have gotten hungry. Try as I believe she did, my mother could not have stopped him. Her hands were cracked open to the wrists like scallop shells. Maybe she tried to catch the axe as it took a swing at one of her sons. Maybe she had been begging for our lives with clasped hands when the blade cut through to her chest. Whichever is true, Debbie Wheeler died from a great hurt to her heart. Another theory is that my eldest brother might have been the first to die. Being 15, Josh stood the best chance of fending off the attack. "Let's take care of this little problem straight off," was what Billy Wheeler probably thought as he gripped the hilt to get as much force behind his swing as possible. Next, only because it seems chronologically sound, would have been my 8-year-old brother, Eddie. As an expert dodgeball player, Eddie would have known that a moving target would be harder to hit. Or perhaps terror held him perfectly still while his head was lopped off. It was found in the corner next to a 10-pound bag of potatoes our mother had bought for Thanksgiving dinner. How it got there is anyone's guess. You would have thought my father would have gotten into the swing of things by then, but it still took a dozen or so hacks to bring down his 4-year-old son. They found Michael under the table, holding onto our mother's foot with the only hand he had left. I was found by a neighbor boy, Rory, a friend of Josh's who had stopped by to collect him for the annual Thanksgiving Day tag football game down at the high school. When no one answered his repeated knocks, he let himself in. He told the police that the music struck him first. Not the blood, not the savagery, not Eddie's severed head in the corner, but the heart-rending desperation pouring from the speakers in the living room. He covered his ears before it even occurred to him to cover his eyes. 1. The Wheeler family home was for sale. I couldn't believe it. For all my preoccupation over what had transpired in that house, it had never once occurred to me to pay it a visit, or that it might still be standing. In fact, most of my thoughts about the house and what occurred there were just those. Thoughts. As with most